super excited to have a first conversation with Kyle Sandy of Sandy Spiel. And first of all, Kyle, thank you for your time today, man.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thank you so much for having me on. It's an exciting time of year, isn't it?
It's the most exciting time of the year, man. I've said this a lot lately on our social media posts and things of that nature, but nothing compares to tournament time when it comes to basketball. You just can't beat it.
Yeah, that is 100% true, considering how we went into the season. We weren't 110% sure it would go off without a hitch, but we're finally here at the finish line. We've seen some fun upsets and crazy stuff, and the games aren't won or lost on paper. So to be able to go to Macon and tip it off, well, I guess not tip it off, but inbound it one more time, I'm very pleased.
That has been one of the biggest adjustments for people that do play-by-play on games. Is this year you want to be like, you know, we're getting ready to tip the game off, and you got to go back and kind of remind yourself we're not doing that this year. But like you said, Kyle, one of the things that's really a blessing right now, I remember talking to coaches before the beginning of the year and just saying, you know, what's the outlook here? What's the general feeling about how the season could unfold? And there's been parts of the season where people just didn't necessarily know if we'd get to the finish line, and it's actually happening. So that's a good point to make right at the beginning of our segment.
Yeah, for sure. I know, especially during the holiday time, everyone got kind of a little scared, like, oh, are we coming back from Christmas and Thanksgiving? There's going to be spikes in numbers, this, that, and the other. But to actually power all the way through and not have too many, you know, big outbreaks or anything crazy, for the most part, it really is a blessing to be able to play state championships in the state of Georgia, considering a lot of states throughout the country weren't even fortunate enough to have a high school basketball season at all. So you really kind of got to give props to the GHSA for putting this on and for the state of Georgia to roll on through as close as to a normal year as, I guess, as humanly possible.
Definitely. So one of the first things I want to do, just to kind of lay some groundwork as we get ready to talk about some of the games that are coming up over the next several days, as you pointed out, is I just want to get our audience an opportunity to kind of familiarize themselves with you and what you do. And to be honest with you, man, I don't know a whole lot about your background. I've been following your Twitter account this year and your website and listening to the Spielin' and Dealin' podcast throughout the tournament. Really enjoyed your insight and analysis on what's going on with all the teams around the state and the tournament in particular here lately. So tell us a little bit about what Sandy Spiel is and how it came about.
Oh, boy, yeah, that's a great question. I've been doing sandyspiel.com for about since 2015 or so, and it really just started as a passion project. Coming out of college, I went to Kennesaw State, got a sport management degree, and kind of got pushed into becoming a sports writer. So I was writing for a local company in the metro Atlanta area and doing some work for the AJC and the GHSA and this, that, and the other. But I kind of noticed that, as everyone kind of assumes, football is king in the South, especially in Georgia, when you talk about high school sports. But I felt like, man, oh man, Georgia high school basketball is so good as well. I played high school basketball in Cherokee County growing up, and I just felt like there wasn't really a one-stop shop for everything high school basketball, for state rankings, for all state teams, because I went kind of dark once I went into college. I didn't follow high school basketball too much, and I didn't really feel like it was a place where I could, okay, let me just plug in here, go to this website, and be all caught up to speed. I didn't feel like there was anything like that. So when I started my website back then, it was really just a passion project, really just trying to connect the dots and get my feet wet. And it started with the transfer list, and that's wildly popular when you talk about Metro Atlanta schools with all these kids. It's a wild, wild west of people moving and shaking and teams getting transfers and all that. So I really just started with that, going to random high school fall league games in the off season and tweeting out. And through social media, it's really snowballed and it's gotten bigger and bigger. And now my website, we do the official GHSA state rankings with the Georgia Sports Writers Association, really looking at my rankings as the official one. So that's been really nice. And just going at the games, writing game stories, player evaluations as far as scouting reports. Try to host some events through Sandy Spiel and through my other brand CTC Athletics. That's createtheculture.org as far as fall leagues and showcase camps and just trying to be everything for high school basketball because it is so good. And just to try and be someone that connects the dots and give a platform for all these students and not just necessarily the 7A schools and the five-star guys where it's so easy that anyone can walk in the gym and see these guys are, you know, going to play high major Division I basketball. But I really like kind of the smaller schools, maybe the 2A and the 3A schools, and where it's spread out across the state where maybe they don't have a lot of statewide coverage outside of maybe their local newspaper. So that's where I really love to try and come in and fill the gaps and try and make those small-town schools feel like rock stars, not just in their local community, but statewide as well.
That is so cool. And that's what really kind of caught my attention when I started following you on Twitter, because I know you've been up in this area, in the Rome area before. Mm-hmm. I believe you were at the Christmas tournament that we were at as well. And then I noticed you were in a totally different part of the state a few days later and just all over the place. And I'm like, man, this dude is living the dream. He's getting to go to all these different places and have all these experiences. And I know from a personal perspective that one of my favorite times of the year is, you know, GHSA tournament time, because, you know, when we're following local teams, there's just no telling where you're going to end up before the tournament is over. And I know over the last few weeks, I've been going back and looking at my memories on Facebook. And a lot of those memories are, you know, going to Savannah or going to Swainsboro or all these different places and the memories and just going to eat at different places and stuff like that. And then obviously the basketball, but it's the whole experience put together. And it seems like that you're getting to have that experience pretty much all the time.
100% correct. And that's what I really do love about it. It's so fun traveling across the state and getting to know the geography of these areas and knowing these small little schools and knowing what city they're in, where as far as you might ask someone else, like, where's Donaldsonville, Georgia? Like, no one has a clue, but that's Seminole County. I went down to Seminole County years ago, and I've been up in the North Georgia Mountains, at Currahee Arena at Stevens County, and I've gone to Savannah. I've gone to Augusta. So I get to go all over the place, and it really is awesome just seeing all these different schools and just trying to spread my growth of the area and just come out there and show some love to these little guys, like Social Circle. I was at a Class A public school this year. So just getting out all over to all these places, or maybe they think, well, we're just a little small school like this. We only have 300 kids. Nobody really knows where we are. But to be able to pop in a gym like that and show some love to those boys and girls playing there gives me great gratification just to be there and tweet it out and make them feel like, wow, this is a big game. A lot of games going on, but Kyle Sandy picked to be at this little game right here. That makes it so exciting for him.
So here's my question for you, Kyle. Do you sleep?
Oh, yeah, sleep can be a little tricky this time of year. I did have to pull a couple 4 a.m. nights during the early state playoffs and region tournaments. But man, I can't complain. Doing this full-time, I've been blessed enough to make a little bit of a living off it. I'm not a millionaire rock star like you by any means, but I'm able to do what I love, and I'm able to cover high school basketball, boys and girls. So when sleep gets a little bit thin, I just have to remind myself, hey, what else would you rather be doing right now? So I really love it.
We just got a comment, our first comment on our Facebook Live feed, and I'm sure you know this name, but Jared Skippy Hughes, everybody knows him around here, Skippy, he says, Sandy is the best in the business. And of course, Skippy used to be the coach over at Rome. Now he's up at Shorter, and he actually used to work at this radio station a long time ago, but I'm sure you've encountered him along the way.
I know Jared. He's really building the program over there at Shorter. They're increasing their win totals leaps and bounds by year two. They've continued to put the building blocks in place and resurrect that program. So trust me, I am certainly a friend of the program, especially with the Shorter women's basketball team. And they're on their way. They are well on their way. And he's been the right man in charge to really guide them to, you know, bringing them back to some great relevancy across the entire nation.
Awesome, man. Again, on the program, we'll just go ahead and reintroduce. We have Kyle Sandy of Sandy Spiel and also Create the Culture, as you pointed out just a little bit ago, and traveling all over the state and covering high school basketball. And one of the things I'm thinking about as you're describing that, I know that Ian and I, my co-host here on the program, we've had conversations before, and you know, we've got a guy that we'll call from time to time. I'm sure you're familiar with Rusty Mansell from 24/7 Sports. So when we want to know what's going on with recruits and things like that around the state and high school football and college football, he's our go-to guy. We're going to give him a call. He probably, when he sees my number pop up, is like, oh, great, he's calling me again. But we've needed somebody that we can call and get in touch with that's got their finger on the pulse of what's going on in basketball. And then we stumbled across Kyle Sandy, and we just really appreciate you being willing to come on the show today to talk about this. This is awesome.
Yeah, I really do appreciate you guys having me on. It's just, I don't know if you can tell by my voice, I do get a little excited when it comes to talking high school basketball, boys and girls, especially this time of year. So anytime you guys want to talk hoops, I will try to be your man, because there is so much good basketball to talk about, north, south, east, west, middle Georgia. It is all over the state of Georgia, and I do the best I can to kind of know what I'm talking about as far as everywhere in the state, because it is just way too good to not try and cover it, as well as maybe a pro league or a college team is.
He has no idea, Ian, what he just did with that response.
I know.
His phone's about to be blowing up.
No.
All right.
It's all good.
Well, let's go ahead and dive in, man. I've got the list of the games that are coming up. And obviously, you know, the tournament starts tomorrow in Macon. And obviously, things get tipped off with Class A Private there with day one. I got all this information from Sandy Spiel's website. Nice comprehensive list there of all the games and the records and all that kind of stuff in one place if you want to check that out. So first of all, let's start with Class A Private. You've got, Hebron Christian and St. Francis in that first game. Just a couple words. I know you got your podcast and everything a little more in-depth, but let's just talk a little bit about each game.
Yeah, so Hebron Christian, this is a loaded team that last year, I want to say they went like 30-1. They lost on somewhat of a controversial Final Four finish, but Jan Azar won multiple state championships at Wesleyan. She comes over to Hebron last year, and they automatically turn into a powerhouse. And they're playing the St. Francis team, who has climbed the mountaintop before, but it's been a few years since they've won the state championship. And Hebron's really good. They have Nicole Azar going to Samford, Malia Fisher going to Rice, Carly Fahey going to UNC Asheville, Carly Hedger going to Samford. So they have four D1 players right there, and they're going up against St. Francis, who has one of the better guards in the state, and Mia Moore, who is going to Mississippi State, and they have a good sophomore guard in Erica Moon. So really good game, very high-powered offense between these two teams. But Hebron, I feel like this has been the team that everyone's been aiming for this year. They had everyone back from last year's team. It's a senior-loaded team, and I think this is one of the go-to teams. I mean, this is a team to beat. We had them ranked number one to open up the season. They had a little bit of a fall earlier in the year when they lost to Elka, but other than that, Hebron's been as tough as it comes. And I think their length inside with Jesse Parrish as well, a dual-sport athlete who's a really good swimmer, I think their size could be able to do some damage against St. Francis.
Now, in terms of the boys' game, you've got number one Mount Pisgah going up against number five Holy Innocents. And, of course, we had one of our local teams play Holy Innocents in the second round, Darlington. And I think that was like a five-point game. Darlington was a very good basketball team this year. So what can you tell us about this matchup?
You're right about that. Yeah, that was a really good game. I think it ended up being 41-35. Darlington fought tooth and nail. Darlington had a little bit of an edge physically, I think, for Coach West's team. Patrick Shelley's a really good player in your area, but this is a good match at Mount Pisgah. This team, you know, ranked number one to finish off the regular season. They were my original pick to win the state title this year. They just have a lot of length at the guard spot. A lot of 6'4", 6'5", guards. JoJo Peterson's going to IPFW, a D1 school. So he's a big athletic guard. You have Kasheem Grady provides 6'5" on the wing. Chase Tucker's not that big. He's only about 6'1", but he's a really good three-point shooter. You add an MJ Winter, another good guard, and then Nate Gordon is about 6'7" inside. I think he's going to be a key piece in this game because you're looking at Holy Innocents. Mario Mays has done a fantastic job. He got the job like the day before the season started when Cabral Huff left and took the Voorhees College job. He's done a phenomenal job as a first-year head coach. He switches defenses. He plays a great 1-3-1 zone. You got Garrison Powell, a guy that's been a go-to guy since his freshman year. big time senior. He's led by, you know, Justin Wilson in the backcourt. Those two are a dynamic duo. But I do think Mount Kisco, with their size and their length, they're really going to challenge Holy Innocence, because Holy Innocence, they go as Garrison Powell goes. But I know Coach Hixonbaugh, he has so many guys that he can run at Powell and try to slow him down. But Holy Innocence, win or lose, it's been a fantastic season for those guys at Golden Bears.
And then tomorrow in day one, you go from Class A private over to Class 4A. You got a 5 o'clock game in the girls' bracket, and then 7:30 moving back to the boys.
Yeah, 4A on the girls' side, maybe a little bit of a surprise that Cairo was able to make it. Never had them in my top 10. They're always right there knocking on the door, but coming out of Region 1, it's not really a super strong region. But this is a team that brings back a core of seniors. Ambria Vicks averages over 19 points per game. Chambria Vicks is another good guard. And then Leah Perry inside provides some length at about 6 foot tall. They're going up against a Carver team that we've seen before win state titles. And Kiana Gaines going to Clemson is a freak athlete, really good. And then Enishon Jones is a big 6'3" post presence that can rebound. And these teams, they were actually in the same region last year. Carver beat them twice, but 87-71, 72-60, they weren't complete blowouts. And that's when Carver had Olivia Cochran, an All-American, going to Louisville. So for Cameron to play them fairly close last year, I think they're going to have a lot of momentum. Just consider that they're playing them again in the state championship. They've won some close games down the stretch, but I think they're going to feel good about their chances of pulling off a little bit of an upset, considering that Carver is very good, but I don't think they're quite as good as last year. But I do think Carver enters this game as a favorite, just with this team, you know, Demaya Beecham, Kaylee Simpson. They have so much to choose from, but it's all really led by Kiana Gaines.
Gotcha. And then, of course, you got the Baldwin Fayette County boys game at 7:30 to close out the first day. What do you think you're going to get to witness in that game?
Baldwin's undefeated. I mean, 16-0, usually that's halfway through a season. But, you know, this has been a crazy year. So, you know, they could finish this year 17-0. And they're ranked number one in the state. But Class 4A on the boys' side, it has been so wide open between the Columbus schools and the Albany area schools. And we had some good teams in DeKalb County and obviously Middle Georgia with Baldwin representing. But Baldwin, they're going to have their hands full against Fayette County. Fayette County, you look at their record, 18-11. But they played the toughest schedule hands down in Class 4A all year long. They're, you know, playing all these teams that are ranked in the top 10, higher classification. So out of those 11 losses, maybe 10 of those were against teams that were ranked in higher classification. So they are definitely battle-tested. And they have Caleb Banks, a superstar, 6'8", junior wing. He has high major offers. He scores at every single level. He's so tough. You add in Cardell Bailey with his length at about 6'5", and Terry Brown, a 6'5", point forward. But Baldwin, this is a scrappy team. A lot of senior guards, Jeremiah Simmons, Will Freeman, they've been really good together. Rudolph Satcher has really come up as a young up-and-comer. They're playing great basketball. It's going to be a defensive battle for Baldwin to win. It's a real balanced attack. Multiple guys can get you 10 to 12 points per game. But Fayette County, with their star power, they're going to be really tough to stop with Caleb Banks.
And then we move on to day two, which is going to be coming up on Thursday. And the day starts with Class 2A. And a lot of the teams that we have around the Rome area are 2A teams. So I'm familiar with some of the teams that are going to be playing in this tournament, because some of our teams, you know, play them, you know, throughout the year and that sort of thing. Starting with the girls at 12 o'clock, it's Josie, and then also Fannin County. And Fannin County is a team out of 7AA that I've seen play a couple of times and just really had an impressive season. And what a great finish in their semifinal game to get to the championship.
Yeah, incredible. And that's a freshman in Courtney Davis getting that steal and then throwing a Hail Mary bomb on a dart to Becca Ledford for the finish. So it was just incredible stuff right there between those two. And those two guards are really the ones that carry this Fannin County team. Very balanced team. A lot of people scoring about 10 points per game. But it's really going to come down to their outside shooting. Can they knock down those threes like they did against Early County, which was an incredible win? And I think after they beat Early County 66-64 in the Elite Eight, You had to seriously stamp these girls as a legitimate state title contender, because Early Canada, Michaela Timpson, who went for like 37 points and 21 rebounds in that game, the most dominant player in that classification, and she finishes her career without a state title. It's incredible what Fannin has done. And they're going up against a Josie team that they're going to be very athletic. They're very wiry. A lot of long guards on the perimeter, about 5'9", 5'10". They have a junior named Tashauna Brown who has a bunch of high major offers. She's not really their go-to player offensively, but she's a dynamic athlete. Ariana Booker leads them in scoring about 11 points per game, and Deja Huck's been a solid guard her entire career, provides senior leadership at about 10 points per game. But looking at this game, I'm interested to see how Fannin County shoots with the backdrop. You playing in an arena in the Macon Centerplex, you have fans sitting behind the basket, and it's a little bit, you know, depth perception as far as there's a lot going on behind the hoop. I think it's going to be key for Fannin to knock down that first shot or two and start to feel good, because if they're able to get some open looks from beyond the three-point line, they're going to be able to shoot with the best of them. Josie, they're not as good a shooting team and as good a shooting team as Fannin County is, and we all know if you're watching the NBA, college basketball, anything, the three-point line is a great equalizer. I think Fannin County has it in their favor heading into the state championship game.
So, Kyle, you bring up an interesting point there, and I'd like our listeners to know, how much practice time do these teams get in the Centerplex to kind of get a feel for the gym and adjust to that more open arena aspect as opposed to the small gymnasiums they're accustomed to playing in?
Yeah, I think it's like Hoosiers when they come out there and they measure the hoop and make sure that everything's good. And I think they really do have to measure the hoop, because we know we had a little bit of a snap years ago at the GHSA, so that's not all for show. That's legit. We really do have to measure the hoop. I'm not 100% sure. I know sometimes there's a, 15 minutes is when they can pick up the ball and come out, but I think you can shoot around a little bit before that as well. You really can't replicate it. Even if you're taking your shots in warm-ups, that's not the same as someone coming at you in a green jersey and trying to close out on your shot. So you can just get as warm as possible, do the best you can. But once the bullets start flying, it really doesn't matter what you do as far as pregame warm-ups go. But again, I think they have the shooters, Natalie Thomas and company, Becca Ledford, Abby Ledford, Courtney Davis. They can shoot those shots. Reagan York as more of a slashing type player. It's going to come down to, can they hit those outside shots against Josie? I think they're going to be able to, so I think it's going to be a game that goes down to the wire.
Well, I tell you, one of the games that I think a lot of people are most excited about in the tournament is the boys' game in 2A, because you've got number one Pace Academy. They were a 3A team last year, won a championship there. They come back down and just, 27-1. They're playing number four Columbia. Is there another team in the state in any classification that you think is better than Pace Academy? Because I know they've got a lot of big-time D1 guys on that team.
Yeah, they're pretty good. There's one team that we'll talk about in Class 3 that was the only team that handed them a loss this year in Sandy Creek, who is very, very good. But, yeah, you're right. Pace Academy doesn't look like your typical 2A school. And for that being said, neither does Columbia, who just dropped down, from Class 5A. So it is kind of, interesting to see how that all plays out. But, yeah, Pace Academy with Matthew Cleveland going to Florida State, 6'7 wing that just gets downhill and can swallow you up defensively. You add in Josh Rita, another 6'6", 6'7 junior forward that can really shoot the outside shot. He blossomed over the summer. Cole Middleton going to Cleveland State, about 6'5", is just a road grader inside, great rebounder and scores with his back to the basket. And then Madison Durr is averaging 10 assists per game. But, I might be able to average 10 assists per game when I'm playing next to these guys. They're just so good. And Coach Sherman White, he's won so many state titles. And they get a rematch with Columbia. They beat them by about 11 points or so, somewhere in that vicinity earlier in the year. But Columbia's really good, too. And Coach McCray, he's won a lot of state titles as well. So this is going to be a really good matchup. Mason Lockhart, 6'6" inside, a really talented junior, a double-double machine. Kalisicki Ricks led DeKalb County in assists this year with over 7 assists per game. So he's a jitterbug point guard, and he's a great free-throw shooter as well when closing out games. And they have some good three-point shooters as far as Julius Coleman, Clavius Harrison, a few other guys. So there is a lot of talent on both sides of the court. I don't think this is going to be a game where Pace just steamrolls them, because I just don't think that's possible. But if you look at what I'm taking a peek at here, Pace Academy, their past three games, it's been about tied at halftime with Banks County, and Butler and Thomasville, and then they just steamroll these teams in the third quarter, and they win by double digits each time. So if I'm Columbia, if I have a lead, I'm not comfortable at halftime. I want to be up about 10 points or so, because you know Sherman White's going to make all those adjustments at halftime, and then sometimes it really is, to be honest with you, it's just Pace Academy saying, okay, I'm done fooling around. Let's put our foot on the gas, and they just roll past these teams. But I think it's going to be a pretty good game. Columbia, if anyone can match up firepower-wise with Pace Academy, it is certainly Columbia.
Man, I want to play hooky tomorrow. Yeah. I want to go to Macon. this is day two we're talking about. And by the way, we have Kyle Sandy from Sandy Spiel. He's our special guest today, talking some GHSA hoops as the season will conclude, with teams hoisting trophies over the next several days. And to complete day two of the tournament, and we're kind of getting low on time, so we'll have to run through some of these kind of quick. But you moved to 5A for the evening session, so to speak. And at 5, you'll have the girls. That's Woodward Academy and Forest Park, followed by the boys, Tri-Cities and Eagles Landing. So just tell us a little bit about these two matchups.
Woodward Academy, they have beaten Forest Park twice this year, won 55-51. Early in the season, then they blew out Forest Park in their second matchup, and they have Sydney Bowles, who I think she went for 38 points in their second meeting with Forest Park, who's the defending 6A state champ, who's led by Sanaya Fagan, a 6'4" forward going to South Carolina. But over at Academy, they have a ton of length, and with Sarah Lewis stepping up her game as a sophomore, they've been really good all season long. So this is a, you know, round three between these two schools. And on the boys' side, Tri-Cities ranked number one in the state, Eagles Landing ranked number two in the state, so we have 1-2 in both, you know, the boys and girls in 5A. The Tri-Cities, this is a team that won a state title 2 years ago with Peyton Daniels, who's going to Vanderbilt. Simeon Cottle's a very good guard. Davon Cottle's very good. So that's a team that can shoot the ball exceptionally well, very well coached by Amari Forts. They're going up against the Eagles Landing team, who they hadn't made it past the Sweet 16 since 2013. They had a monkey on their back heading into this year, but they've broken through with A.J. Barnes, a junior who was a region player of the year, and then that sensational sophomore guard in David Thomas, who pours in points, plays great defense, and facilitates. So those two guys right there, they're going to have big games if they want to knock off Tri-Cities.
Then you'll get a little bit of rest, turn around, and get back for four more games coming up in day three. We're looking at Class 3A and Class 6A. So what do you think are going to be some of the highlights of that day three of the tournament?
I think one of the highlights is on the girls' side between Cross Creek and GAC. It's Kaylee Addy of GAC, who has high major offers, won the state championship game last year when she poured in 28 points. They're going up against a Cross Creek team who's led by Jordan Dorsey, going to North Carolina A&T. She's a dynamic athlete that scores all over the floor, so a great one-on-one matchup there. On the boys' side, Sandy Creek comes in as a heavy, heavy favorite. They've beaten literally everyone in the state. Pace Academy, they beat Milton. They beat pretty much all the top heavy hitters sitting there at 28-4 with Jabari Smith, who will be an NBA lottery pick, All-American, going to Auburn. He is so good. He's the closest thing to Kevin Durant in the high school game in Georgia at 6'10", shoots over 40% from three, just does everything. Golly. He's so dominant. He's a great player. And then, you know, lastly in Class 6A, Westlake girls, they've won 97 straight games against teams from Georgia. But Raven Johnson, the number one ranked player in the nation this year, going to South Carolina. They're going up against a Carrollton team with Damari Flournoy, who went for 50 points in the game, which is no big deal, right? Outstanding shooter going to Vanderbilt. So two teammates in the summer going at it for a state title game now. And then on the boys' side, Wheeler versus Kell. This is round four between these two teams. Kell knocked Wheeler off in double overtime in the region championship after losing close by 1 point and 3 points earlier in the season. And now setting up for round four, I think Wheeler, the defending Class 7A state champs, I think they're just so big inside. They're really going to try and suck up on shut down Scoot Henderson, who's a five-star guard in his own right for Kale. But a lot of bad blood between these two teams. I think we could see fireworks at 7:30.
And then finally, one more day of tournament play, and it's going to be a bittersweet day because you're going to get to see four more games. It's going to be exciting, and I know at the end of it, everybody's going to be worn out, but already probably looking forward to next year when the day concludes, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's you know, it's a nonstop grind, that's for sure, but we do finish up with Class A Public and Class 7A. In Class A Public, you have Clinch County girls. You have come close to winning a state title. They lost 50-38 a couple years back to Marion County. or Calhoun County, that is, has not won the state title, but they came close against Marion County. They're playing a Clinch County team, who is a team that's made it to the Elite Eight and made it to the Final Four, but they haven't climbed the mountaintop either. But they have Angel McCray, who is just a thoroughbred, great athlete, tough wing, and then Zahia Johnson is a really athletic guard as well. And Calhoun County, they're anchored by Takiyah Davis, about 6'2" inside, going to USC Upstate. And on the boys' side, Towns County, they've been really tough this year. Jake McTaggart transferring in, a 6'7" forward, that is just a bulldozer inside when he wants to be. Going up against the defending state champs in Hancock Central, who hit a half-court buzzer beater to get back to the state title game to beat Dublin. They have a kid named Jamal Taylor, a.k.a. Peanuts. He's the one that hit that shot. He's so good. He averages 17 points per game, along with Leroy Wilson. So that's going to be an interesting matchup as far as a team that is trying to repeat versus a team in Towns County that has never been here before, at least in recent memory, and now they're going up against them. And then in Class 7A, to finish it off, Marietta girls, they beat McEachern in a rivalry game by 1 point, a thriller behind Chloe Sterling's 33 points and Lauren Walker's double-double. They will play Woodstock from over here in Cherokee County, who's been led by Bridget Upberg, who's had a fantastic season, averaging over 20 points per game. She's been incredible. And then the last game of the season at 8 p.m., the bewitching hour, Milton trying to win the state title over Berkmar. The toughest thing to do, I like to say, in high school sports is to win a Class 7A state title in the GHSA boys basketball. It's tough to do it as the number one ranked team. Milton is, I think they're like top five nationally right now. Ooh. So they have a huge target on their back with Bruce Thornton, a junior going to Ohio State. Kanan Carlisle, a five-star sophomore. Kendall Campbell, 6'8", he transferred in. Brock Bidwell transferred in from West Forsyth. He's going to Campbell University. They have just so much talent over there. But Berkmar, they have Malik Ewing, 6'10". He has a chance to be very special, only a junior. He's going to have a great game in order for Berkmar to upset Milton. And remember, Milton did beat Berkmar back at Holiday Hoopsgiving in late November, but a lot has changed for both teams since then.
Yeah, I'm not sure where else you can get all the information that we just got over the course of the last 20 minutes. That is remarkable, man. There's no doubt you've done your homework and are the source to go to when it comes to breaking down high school hoops in the state of Georgia. I'm glad that our paths have crossed now. That's fantastic. Thank you for that. That's great. But I do have a few more questions that I'd like to ask you before we let you go, if you got a few minutes.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely.
Early on in our conversation, we were talking about, you know, one of the joys of this, just going around the state and having different experiences, seeing the different gyms and eating at different restaurants and things of that nature. So first of all, what are a couple of the most interesting, unique gyms that you've been in that, you know, are just like, you're like, holy, this is just unbelievable. What a cool place to be, unique wise.
Oh yeah, geez, it's always tough. There's been so many, but you know, I usually like more of the older type schools. I just feel like there's more atmosphere there when it's not one of those cookie cutter new type gyms. I mean, great facilities, obviously up your way, Chattooga and Armucci. Pretty similar right there with their builds. It's very fun to just see that seating like that. Social Circle was a good atmosphere. The Palace over there at Wilkinson County, very history past. A lot of state titles have been won over there. But usually the best atmospheres, I think, are in the smaller schools. It's just nice and cozy. I mean, Sonoraville, I went to Sonoraville this year. The Furnace, it is so packed. They are just sitting right on top of you over there. Lumpkin County, a great facility as well. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention, I don't think it's really much of a high school gym, but Buford City Arena. I mean, if you haven't been there, it's ridiculous. That is not, high school teams are not meant to be playing there. But that place is always the place to be, especially when it comes to like the Final Four weekend, as far as Class 7A usually being held there.
Okay, so you're going to be in Macon for 4 days, and I know this is not your first time being in that situation. So where are the places that you absolutely can't wait to eat while you are there?
Ooh, to be honest with you, it is Macon. There's not a whole lot going on. I do remember they do have a nice Waffle House over there. So maybe a little Waffle House action. I know I had some, maybe Jay Christopher's is over there somewhere. I know they had some Fried Green Tomatoes as well, where they filmed the movie over in that area. But man, I mean, out of all these days, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't have too much time to go out and eat food, but I will give you one Wild Wing Cafe. That usually is my spot now that I think about it. Wild Wing Cafe in between games when there's a little bit of a downtime. That is where you can find me. But if you're going to come at me with hate mail and tell me that my rankings stink, do not come to Wild Wing Cafe.
Well, I will make a suggestion for you. If you've never been to Ingleside Pizza and you like pizza, you have to go there. Especially, they have a pretty thick pizza there, but the atmosphere is just really eclectic. They got a lot of cool stuff on the wall and things of that nature, but the pizza is amazing, and it's just a cool experience to go there. So if you like pizza, look up Ingleside Village Pizza.
Thank you for that. I will definitely have to take your recommendation on that one.
And Kyle, I know we've been focused on high school, but Matt and I have a bracket challenge every year when it comes to the big dance. We didn't get to do it last year, so we're extra excited this year. Are you riding the Zags? What are you feeling as far as college hoops is concerned?
Jeez, yeah, I don't get to watch too much college basketball, but the one game I did see, because I am a Virginia fan, still the defending state champs, or not state champs, but national champs. That's where my head's at, I guess. I did see them play Gonzaga months ago, and boy, oh boy, did Gonzaga just beat the heck out of them. So, if any year Gonzaga finally gets to the mountaintop, I would have to assume it has to be this year, considering all the blue bloods, for the most part, Duke and North Carolina, Kansas has been a little bit better lately, but Kentucky, like all those teams you really have to worry about, they're not that good this year. So if any time Gonzaga could win a national championship, I would hope for their sake it has to be this year.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun. I think there's going to be a lot of parity, and it's going to shake out to be a really great tournament.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. Has to be.
Well, before we run out of time here, Kyle, I do want to give you the opportunity, because obviously you gave us a lot of information, but there's more information at your website and with your podcast and all of your different coverage. So how can people, find your content?
Yes, sir. The best way would be starting through Twitter. That's where all the news really breaks first. You can follow me at KyleSandy355 and at Sandy Spiel. You could also, if you're interested in highlights and everything like that, on Instagram through my Create the Culture page, CTC Athletics, posts a lot of highlights throughout the year, just kind of shows you all the random, crazy, different gyms I've been to throughout the season. It's fun to look back and see all the different colors of red schools, green schools, blue schools. I've been everywhere. I've been Rome. I've been to Middle Georgia. All of that stuff is over there as well. And, of course, sandyspiel.com, that's SANDYSSPIEL.com, all the official state rankings there. I will be writing up recaps after each state championship game as it goes final. And then at the conclusion of the season, I will release the final state rankings for the year. And then a week after that, it's time to pump out the all-state teams, where I try to honor as many players as possible, both boys and girls.
Well, that is fantastic. And again, we really appreciate you giving us some time today. I know you got a lot of stuff going on this week, and I know folks that listen to the show in Northwest Georgia really appreciate getting the opportunity to hear from you the day before the championship games get played. So thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. And hopefully, I don't know if you guys will make it down there. Maybe some of your listeners will. Let's get down to Macon. Let's have some fun down there. It's going to be some great basketball. It's been a trying season. Hopefully, we can finish it off with some fireworks and have some memorable moments. So definitely hope to see you guys soon in person one day.